We're going to be taking a look at some different scriptures. And then also I'm going to be looking at the attack specifically on motherhood and women. The scripture we read earlier, Proverbs chapter 31. A lot of times on Mother's Day, or women say, why do you have to read that? Because who can live up to that standard? But one of the things that I want us to understand in looking at that scripture, God has never said women are not significant or important in this world. There are religious beliefs and religious systems that say women have no significance or importance. They're merely to be the chattel or property of a man. That women have no rights or have no real purpose in the eyes of God. That is not what the scriptures say. You know, the Bible and Christianity is the one thing that has exalted women to their proper position and shown that God created man and woman for a purpose. And yesterday we had the public and restating of the vows of Sam and Taylor, because they were married last January and they did not have time to put together a big service and invite everyone, and they wanted everybody to hear their commitment to one another in the covenant of marriage. And so we redid the ceremony yesterday, and we had about, I believe it was around 130 or 140 people in attendance of family and friends. But part of the reason they wanted to do that was so that they had a lot of people in their family and friends that are not believers. And you know something? The world teaches marriage isn't important, motherhood isn't important, that women and men are really the same. There is no difference. And out of the feminist movement of the early 60s came the whole philosophy that women really needed to usurp man's position. Well, this morning I want to take a look at a little bit about what the Bible says about this. And then we're going to be taking a look at how the world has attacked it and what our response needs to be. The first thing is, I'm going to use a couple of the passages of Scripture that we looked at yesterday at the wedding. And the first is found in Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to understand the importance of what we're going to read. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone." Now, prior to this, God had created man. He'd taken and created Adam out of the dust of the earth and formed him and breathed life into him. "And the Lord said, it was not good for him to be alone." Last portion of verse 18, "And I will make him a helpmeet for him." "And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him." I just want you to look at the word there. It's "help meet" in the King James, not "help mate." Meet has greater significance. The woman was not created to be under the man, but to be beside the man. God didn't create woman, as we're going to see in a moment, out of a man's foot that he would tread upon her, nor out of man's head that he would be above her. But it says, in verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto man." Woman was created from the side of man, to be beside man, but also the significance is he's to be under the protective arm of her husband. But she is there to be more than just a servant, but to be one who is there to be a supplement to her husband. And like I shared yesterday, God created men and women and He gave them different aspects to their character and personality. Even the way that we're physically put together is different. Men have testosterone. Women have estrogen. That's science. Because of the way that God constructed a man, man is much more protective. Man is much more willing to go out and defend. Man stands and guards. The way God put together a woman, she's much more there to nurture, to help, to be there for her husband and her children, to meet needs. But even the way that men and women perceive, we think different. And we've been designed that way so that when a man and a woman come together and are married, they complement one another, not destroy one another. He goes on and continues, "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh." There's great significance in that as well. God established here the first element of relationship and commitment. And out of the family would come everything else. I want you to understand, we are a church family, but it's not the same as the family that you have, a man and a woman that are Christians with their children. As a church family, we are to care for one another, love one another, do all of these things, serve one another, exhort one another, help one another. But a home needs to be the foundation of even a functioning, well-functioning church. The home is the foundation of a well-functioning government. The home is the foundation of passing values from generation to generation so that people may walk with the Lord in the manner that God intended them to walk. That was the establishment of home. That's why God started it first. It is without any question why Satan's attacking it so severely. Because if you have solid Christian homes, you have a solid foundation for all other of God's functioning relationships. But if you have no solid Christian home, you've splintered and destroyed the foundation that everything else is built on. I just want you to stop and think, and we're going to be looking specifically at seven ways that Satan tries to destroy marriages and homes. But would our nation be where we are today if we had solid Christian homes throughout our land? Would our schools be having the problems they have today if we had solid Christian homes throughout our land? Would you have the lack of understanding of truth and morality in our nation if we had solid Christian homes throughout our land? Do you see that by destroying the Christian home and destroying the passing of values from generation to generation, it opens up an opportunity for Satan to come in and steal truth from the hearts of people? The Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, talks specifically of the importance of the foundational pillars of the home. And the foundational pillars of the home are not the children. They're the blessing that comes out of a proper relationship. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, he talks about the wives and the husbands. That is exactly what was being conveyed in Genesis that God started with. The husband and the wife, Adam and Eve, joined together as one, and that foundation became the family and the home. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. What Paul is saying is that the Christian home is not only a way of passing value from generation to generation, but it is to be a picture of what is experiencing in each one of our lives, whether we're a man or a woman, in our relationship to Jesus Christ, because we are the church. And as such, Paul says we are the bride of Christ, just like within a human relationship, the husband is the bridegroom and the wife is the bride. Jesus says that the wife reflects the church, who is the bride of Christ. And as such, she reflects what we should be reflecting in our response to our bridegroom. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wife be subject unto her own husbands in everything. Now, I want you to understand something here. It does not say, as the church is enslaved to Jesus, let the wife be enslaved to her husband. But it says subject to. What does that word mean, subject to? The concept of the word is that there's a choice there. You can either be subject or not be subject. The choice is yours. As a believer in Jesus Christ, a lot of Christians have lost the concept of what it means to walk with the Lord and have Him be the bridegroom and we are the bride, and what that means in being subject to Him. Being subject to is a couple of things. First of all, you trust the leadership of. If you're subject to somebody, you're giving over the responsibility in certain aspects to that person when it comes to directing your life. This is not something women want to hear because our ears have been filled with the 60s rhetoric of the woman's movement. But I want you, it does not mean that you've lost your place of importance, your place of abilities, your place of anything. It just means that as the church, we look to Jesus. Why? Because He leads us. He directs us. He takes us down the paths of life, not to harm us, but to bring us good. And what Paul is saying is the response of a wife to her husband is to be that same thing and that same understanding. Well, I want you to understand, that puts tremendous responsibility on the husband. Just as there is a tremendous responsibility on the Lord Jesus Christ to give us proper direction, to teach us the truth, to direct us in the right ways that we should go, likewise, the husband has that same responsibility. And Paul tells us that. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. What is the depth of that love? Totally self-sacrificing. It's not based on what's in it for me, but it's based in what can I do to help you. Jesus gave that example to His disciples. We've talked about it a number of times, where the Lord's Supper, how they were sitting arguing who was greatest in the kingdom, who was going to have the greatest responsibility, who was going to have the greatest leadership, who was going to be the greatest in the eyes of the kingdom. And Jesus, as He's listening to His disciples argue about that, takes a towel and places it around Himself and begins to wash their feet. That is an expression of love, because it did not have to do it. They were to do that to Him, but He did it to them. This is what a husband needs to understand, is his responsibility to his wife. He doesn't demand that she does things because she needs to be in subjection to him, but he sets the example by serving her, when he does not have to, because he is the spiritual leader. But the way he leads is through servant. Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be the least. He goes on, and the Apostle Paul says that is to be the mark of love of husbands. In verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. He's speaking here of how Christ set us free through the Word of God, through His Word, that we could understand the truth. How does a husband help his wife become the woman she needs to be? Present to her the truth. That all the rebellion that may be there can be washed away. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is Christ's intent, that his bride would be that bride. A husband's desire should be that his wife would grow and mature in her faith, and that she could be that person. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, isn't it interesting that Paul uses the same terminology when he compares the relationship of the church to Christ? We are members of His body, His flesh, and His bones. We're to be one with Jesus in that sense. Yet you go back to Genesis and it's Adam's response when Eve was created. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I shall call her woman because she came from man. We are one. And then it says that when a husband and a wife are united in marriage, the two shall be one flesh. And it's more than just a relationship act that he's speaking of. There is a unique thing that happens between a husband and a wife when they're committed to Christ. They do become one. They are there to help one another, serve one another, love one another. And the husband is to be there to protect and lead. And the wife is to be there to help and submit. Now, he goes on and says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, and that shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence is an interesting word. Revere. We're to revere in a relationship as Christ reveres, as we revere Christ as His bride. So Paul gives us that example. And I also want us to just remember that out of this relationship come children. And the Psalms talk about the fact that children are a blessing and they're a gift from God. And it talks about that the man whose quiver is full of them has been blessed. Now, I just want you to stop and think about what's happened in our culture and what's happened during your lifetime in the view of men and women, and specifically mothers. Because that's what we're looking here. We're celebrating Mother's Day today. And the importance of moms. Mothers are extremely important. If you look at the scriptural connotation of relationships and duties within the home, fathers are to make provision for the family. That's clear. The Apostle Paul says that a man who won't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. If you look back in the history of the Scriptures, you will see that God's people have always made provision, and the man has made provision for his family, both to meet their physical needs, but also to meet, in more specifically, their spiritual needs. And you can go back to the book of Numbers, and it talks about the responsibility of the husband in laying out the spiritual truth, and he's to be doing it in every aspect of his life at all times in his life when he's with his children. The problem is, dad is not with the children as much as mother. What is mom's responsibility? Well, God has given a unique responsibility, and it's the way He's made up a woman, and that she has the ability to understand and nurture her children in a way that her husband, in most cases, can't, because he's just not wired that way. And it's very important. And one of the things that you've seen with our culture is until about the end of World War II, or during World War II, moms were just about always in the home, nurturing kids. Families were large. There was a number of children in the home. World War II came along, and we needed to build weapons. And most of the young men were off fighting the war. And so women went to the factories to build the weapons. And they went out of the home. The 50s came, and to a large extent, you still had the model of a two-parent home with mom being a stay-at-home mom, taking care of the kids, and dad making provision for the family, and then came the 60s. And out of the 60s came the lies that women could not be fulfilled unless they had an education, unless they were working outside the home, unless they had degrees and were earning the same money as their husbands, there couldn't be any fulfillment. And to a large extent, many young women believed it. I want to give you seven ways in which Satan undermined and destroyed motherhood in America. The first thing he did is he attacked marriage. When I was growing up, people never thought of just living together. At least nobody I knew. Young girls longed for the day that they could find the young man that would propose to them and they could be married. Young men longed for the day that they could find the young woman that they could propose to and that she would become his wife. But I want you to see that even though marriage has always been under attack, it became so severe once we have electronic gadgets. If you look at social media today, if you look at television, radio, the music, a lot of it, if you listen to the words, listen to the message, it's a direct assault on marriage and the home. Back in even the 1970s, I remember there was a Christian psychologist who promoted family living. That was his whole ministry. And he talked about relationships within the home, and he cited the verses I cited. Yet he came out with a video series that was done in cartoon fashion, and it had the dad, a bumbling idiot, the mom in total control with a three-piece suit, and the children were really the ones running the household. He had turned it all upside down his head, and he was putting that out to promote the family. It was just a direct assault on marriage. A direct assault on God's plan. Television. Television comes along and it starts out with sitcoms and TV shows that reflect mom at home. But pretty soon that's replaced with guys living with women. And then it's replaced where marriage isn't even thought of. You go to social media, it's even worse. Marriage was under assault. The significance and the importance of women in the eyes of God was under attack. I want you to understand, in reading Proverbs 31 this morning, was there anything in that proverb that a woman is not capable or to be honored for doing? I mean, you stop and look at that. She purchases things. She purchases land. She purchases cloth for her family. She makes clothes. She feeds her family. She goes out and makes sure that they're taken care of. She stays up late. She works hard. Everything in that deal gives her great value and worth. And it says, is there anything more valuable than a woman of great value? Yet today, our world is replacing it and saying you don't have any value as a woman unless you become a man. And now they're even saying you have to do it physically. Before, they were just saying you have to be a man in relationships, in the way that you conduct yourself. You no longer want to be a woman. So marriage is under attack. 2nd thing is done through movies, television, videos. 3rd thing, pornography became a real issue in our culture. And this came about with electronic media. It's a direct attack on women. And it's also a direct attack on men. Because they no longer value their wife the way they need to value. Fourth thing, our government attacks the home and attacks the value of a woman by destroying the family. If you go to most inner cities, you will find in upwards of 70 to 80% of the families do not have dads. Our government pays women to have babies without fathers. The welfare system has become a system which enslaves people to an ideology that's anti-God in philosophy and ungodly in the way it creates situations and relationships. Because of the current welfare system and the lack of male leadership in the homes and women having to be out of necessity, oftentimes working as a single mom in the home, children are left to fend for themselves, or daycare centers where someone who doesn't have your values is raising your child. And oftentimes in the inner cities, and it's coming to Fargo too, by the way, especially young men looking for leadership will turn to gangs and look for what they can't find in the house, in the gang. A further deterioration of the family. And Satan loves it. Also, and again, our government has been great at this, we're continually add to it. Addictions. Alcohol addiction, drug addiction, other forms of addiction destroy the home. Money that is made that should be used for the home goes to feed the addiction. I want you to just look at the state of North Dakota, what we have done. Back shortly after we got married, it would be late 70s, I believe it was, or maybe it was the early 80s, they legalized gambling in North Dakota, and they also had North Dakota gambling. North Dakota is going to make revenue through gambling. At the time, I thought, they're not going to make revenue, they're going to create problems. Oh, they'll get revenue, but the problems are you're going to have broken homes, you're going to have homes that are going to have to go on subsistence because dad and mom are going to be gambling away all the money and there won't be food and clothes for the kids. You're going to have, and then you're doing this in the name of feeding lust, because the advertisements are, you can win $1 million, just spend 15 and buy a ticket. It feeds on your lusts. And the state of North Dakota promoted it. Now on the ballot this next year, this next fall, is going to be a deal to legalize recreational marijuana. Oh, there's no harm in marijuana. Isn't there? Everybody that I talk to that's involved in the drug field and involved in trying to help people get off of drugs said marijuana is the number one gateway drug to other drugs. Why? Because marijuana is easily accessible. It doesn't impact you tremendously when you first use it, but you become addicted to it and you want something that gives you a bigger thrill. And they said marijuana is the gateway to all of the drugs. So now we've got medical marijuana, and now we're going to legalize recreational marijuana if it passes. Minnesota's already got it. And you think that's not going to attack the family? That's not going to attack homes? That's not going to attack men and women and their perception of the things that they're going to do? It's a direct assault on the family. It's a direct assault on fathers and mothers and children, creating addictions. The sixth thing that Satan did was the feminist movement. I just want you to stop and think about this. Any of the verses that we read, do they promote feminism? That women are a greater significance or less significance than men? You will not find it in Scripture. Different roles, different responsibilities, but not greater significance. Feminism came out, and really at the core of feminism is women wanted to usurp the total authority of men. That is the foundation of feminism. But I want you to see where feminism turned itself. This last year, when we had a 6'4", 200-pound man swim in the women's finals because he said, I'm a woman and you can't stop me. That is the logical outcoming of feminism. Men totally abrogating their responsibility, trying to usurp women, trying to abuse women and take advantage of women for their own old gains. If you look at other world religions, Christianity, as I mentioned, is the only religion in the world. Judeo-Christian biblical values are the only values in the world that exalt women. Hinduism doesn't exalt women. Islam sure doesn't exalt women. Pagan religions don't exalt women. Humanism doesn't exalt women. If it did, you wouldn't have Riley Gaines losing her title to a man. Satan attacking women. And the seventh is an attack on human sexuality itself. And that's what we're seeing today. I'm not going to go into all the specifics because you've got children here and you know what I'm talking about. Pronouns and other things. You no longer have men and women. And Satan is undermining and destroying the family. And he's undermining and destroying what God established as marriage. And he's undermining and destroying the foundation of all that is true. So let's go back and look at Mother's Day. We need to honor our mothers. Why? Number one, your mother and father gave you life. And if you just stop and think about it, there's a uniqueness in the birth of a child in that you have the genetic makeup of two individuals that are totally different. And yet God has created the ability of those two individuals to come together, and half of a genetic makeup comes from the father and half from the mother, and a new life is given that is both mother and father. And there's a unique oneness there that only comes out of that relationship. And God intended it was within the family. And it was within the family that when those children are born, and you know, you look at kids and you say, oh, she looks just like her mom, or she looks just like her dad, but when she smiles, she looks like her mom, but when she, and you see both parents. Why? Because they're made up of both parents. And the thing is, then we are to genetically not just give them our genetic genes, but we're to give them our spiritual values. And the best way that it can be done is within the home of a mom being a mom and a dad being a dad, according to Scripture. And when a mom usurps her responsibility or a dad usurps his responsibility, there's a beginning of a fraction within the home. A fracture. And that fracture can lead not only to values not being passed properly to the children, but relationships being torn apart, and that which was God put together, let no man take asunder, is being ripped apart. And today you have people saying you're not fulfilled unless you look for somebody else. Is that of Satan in the pit of hell? Or is that of God in the Bible? The importance of moms. One man made the astute observation, the women that rock the cradle rule the world. I want you to understand, it's not without planning by Satan and those that follow his ideologies that they want the government to raise your children instead of moms raising their children. Because when moms do not raise their children and the government raises your children, whose values are their children getting? And today, I sure wouldn't want those values to be coming from our government. But do you realize there, through the orchestration, and Satan's very patient about initiating his evil. They've been planning this for years. Starting with a tax program that makes it just about impossible for one person to meet the financial needs of a family, so that both people have to go to work, and then you have all these other things added on top of it, and pretty soon the family is going 18 directions at once. I just want to share one more thing from my own family growing up. In my family, my dad had four brothers and three sisters. There were four boys and three girls in the family. Three of the boys stayed close to home, and my grandpa farmed, they farmed. The one boy joined the Air Force, became a career Air Force person. He ended up retiring as a colonel. He had two girls. And I haven't talked to her for quite a while now, but I was talking to her fairly often a few years ago because I became the family museum archive holder, and I had to get the pictures dispersed after grandparents died and parents died. And so I called her to get her pictures. You know what she wanted to talk about? She'd lived all over the world. She lived in Beirut, Lebanon, when Beirut, Lebanon was the beautiful place to live, and all the Europeans came there and went to the ocean. She went to American high school in Beirut, Lebanon. Her dad was in Air Force in Turkey. She lived in Japan for a while. She lived in all different places across the United States and some of the biggest air bases there were. But you know what she wants to talk about whenever I get on the phone with her? What was it like to be at Grandma's house? What was it like to be able to go in and have lunch with Grandma? What was it like to grow up with your cousins next door? It was family. She never had it. They'd come home once every 3 years and spend 3 weeks at my grandma and 3 weeks at her other grandma. And that would be it for family for the next 3 years. And you never knew how important my grandmother was to her grandchildren and to her children. How important my mom was to me and my sisters until all of a sudden you stop and realize it and you start talking to people who never had a mom, who never had a grandma, who never saw the stability of a relationship according to God's plan and the hurts that are there. Moms are important. And do not let Satan fool you about what your most significant role is, because you can influence lives that are going to live beyond you. My grandmother's been dead for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. She died in 1970. But her influence is still touching generations later. That's a mom. Let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to understand the importance and roles of mothers, of women. And Lord, help us to see the importance of the family and how Satan desires to destroy that which you have created and love. May every family that is here be blessed. Lord, may those who are struggling, Lord, may you reach down and touch hearts and change hearts and heal wounds. And Father, may you receive the glory and the praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to Proverbs. (Clears throat) And we'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 31. And Solomon is writing about the significance of a woman and a godly woman. And we'll begin at chapter 10, verse 10 of chapter 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She preserveth that her merchandise is good. She perceiveth rather that her merchandise is good, for her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Truly, the second to the last verse is really the key to unlocking this whole passage, that the world wants us to look at that which is temporary. God wants us to build in our lives that which is eternal. And favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. We all grow old and wrinkled. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And she is really beautiful from the inside out. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity you have given to us to gather together as your people, to honor and glorify you in your house on this day. Lord, we thank you for the mothers and the commitment that they had to the lives of their children. Lord, I thank you for the young mothers in our fellowship and help them to understand what is really important in the calling that you placed on their life in being a mom and rearing these young ones. Lord, thank you for the older women who are mothers where their children are grown and have left home. And Lord, thank you for the influence that they've had on them and that they may still be having on them. Thank you for the grandmothers and Father, those that have grandchildren that they can influence yet today. And Lord, help us all to acknowledge you and to look to you and to realize the high calling that you've placed on all of us in our lives. To not get caught up in the in the deceitfulness of this world, but rather to look to your word for that which is true and righteous and pure and holy. And Lord, help the women that are here today to understand the high calling on their life. Help the men that are here today to understand the importance of the leadership in their family and being the spiritual heads of that home and setting the tone and direction for it. Lord, be with us now this hour, and may you receive the glory and praise. Be with those who cannot be here today, and Lord, I pray that they would take time to spend with you in worship and prayer. Lord, be with the Christians across our nation and across this world. Father, we think of many that are being persecuted for their faith, and many that are living in areas of the world where war is going on. And Lord, I pray that you would just be there, protect them, comfort them, strengthen them, and be close to them. Lord, thank you for all that you've done and are doing in our lives. Be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, if you turn to 433, my faith looks up to thee. Thank you.